There was only one man in England whom Lady Clare Cavendish wished to meet. Only one man whom she thought it worth crossing an ocean for, sight unseen. Only one man who possessed a brain like hers, with a gift for numbers, and presumably the only man who would find a brain and talent like hers, attractive rather than frightening. When her brother James had shockingly inherited a dukedom, Clare had encouraged him to fully accept the role, which necessitated the Cavendish clan of Clare, James, Bridget, and Amelia, traveling to England. It was the right thing to do, and opportunities to be a duke did not come along every day, etc., etc. She might have had an ulterior motive, because dukes lived in England. The particular duke she wished to meet lived in London. She had studied the Duke of Ashbrook's mathematical papers and read accounts of the Royal Society, of which he was an influential member. Clare longed to discuss his difference engine and further possibilities for an analytical machine with him. She knew this made her somewhat of an oddity, but that didn't bother her. But Clare had lived on a horse farm in Maryland with her brother and two sisters, literally an ocean away, and with no hope of ever traveling to London to make the acquaintance of like-minded mathematicians or to attend meetings of the Royal Society. And yet the stars had aligned, fate intervened, or more to the point, the appropriate people had expired, making James the 7th Duke of Durham. And so here she was, in London, in a ballroom, which was likely stuffed to the chandeliers with dukes and earls, marquises, viscounts, barons, and all their heirs and all that. Already Clare felt she'd been introduced to every peer in London, everyone except the Duke.
"Looking for someone in particular, Lady Clare?"
The Duchess of Durham fixed her steely blue eyes on the eldest Cavendish sister. "Why do you ask?"
"I have my reasons," the Duchess replied.
Clare had quickly learned that Josephine Maria Cavendish, the Duchess of Durham, and her aunt, was hell-bent on seeing the family, James, Clare, and her sisters Bridget and Amelia, settled in England. That meant ensuring the three sisters wed, so James would stay and fully accept his new role. Cavendish men, like James and his father before him, seemed to be the only ones in the world reluctant to be dukes, preferring instead a quiet life in America. But James was too loyal to his sisters to leave them. But that meant a debut, tonight at Lady Tunbridge's ball, and an endless stream of introductions to the very best of society, particularly the ones deemed suitable potential matches.
"Well, do stop craning your neck as if you're on the prowl for someone,"
the Duchess continued. "But we are on the prowl for someone, or someone's, plural," Amelia cut in glumly. "You made that list of potential gentlemen to introduce us to," Bridget added. "It's a rather long list."
"Well, a lady does not seek out a gentleman, and she certainly is more subtle about it if she does."
"Of course," Clare murmured, gaze still scanning the room, searching for the Duke. Not that she knew what he looked like. Beside her, Bridget appeared to be committing the Duchess's words to memory. Her middle sister was trying very hard to be a perfect lady. Her baby sister Amelia was not.
"Come, there are some more gentlemen I'd like to introduce you to."
The Duchess snapped her fan open, and the three Cavendish girls issued weary sighs and trailed after her in their newly acquired fine gowns and delicate slippers. In spite of all their finery, these American girls were oddities in this elegant English ballroom. Clare hoped at least one of the gentlemen would be her duke. She calculated the odds of meeting him. Tonight. 1 hour later. Thus far, Lady Clare had been introduced to 4 marquises, 5 earls, a bunch of marchionesses and countesses, and half a dozen assorted viscounts and barons and their brides. There were misters and misses, and what the Duchess called fine prospects, because of what they owned, or what they stood in line to inherit, or their connections. And then Lady Clare was introduced to even more English people, not one of whom was the man she sought. She bit back a sigh as yet another Lord something, she thought she caught the name Fox, was bowing before her. This one, at least, wasn't some soft, paunchy fellow who had clearly spent more time in dissipation than engaged in activities outdoors, unlike most of the men she'd met tonight. This one had an air of vitality about him, Clear skin, dark hair, bright green eyes.